All right, let's go.
Don't worry, be happy. This material world is miserable. You can choose how miserable you're going to be. You have free will.
Make sure this is not too high. No, this is right.
You have free will to choose how miserable you want to be. It's all in the mind. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and its enemy as well. So you control your mind, and you got it made. Anyone who can control the mind, the super soul's already reached because he or she has attained tranquility. You have to expect in this world the threefold miseries. Miseries from other living entities. That's a big one. That's the hardest one. All these living entities. Human living entities.
My voice is muffled.
Oh my God. That is a disaster. Hold on a second. Just when I'm speaking some philosophy. Oh, I understand why. It's too high. Should be better now. Let me just test it. Testing, 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing, 1, 2, 3, 4.
That's muffled. Oh, it's muffled because it's against my body. Now I understand. Thank you for pointing that out. Let's just test it now. Testing, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That sounds better. Thank you. Yeah, because I had this wireless mic against my body. Anyway, so there's threefold miseries. Miseries from other living entities. Whatever you changed before you made it low. Let me just try it. A little higher. Okay. It's not low now. Okay, so there's miseries from other living entities, including other aspiring devotees, miseries from the material energy, the weather, and miseries from one's own body and mind. Let's see, the chat. Is it better now? Does it sound better now? Yes, okay. Anyway, just got to tolerate. Tamsa tikshasha bharata. Let the jackals howl. The caravan will pass. Okay, turn up the volume. All right, let me turn up my volume more on the mic. Max. Okay. With the jackals howl and the caravan will pass. Okay, just have to tolerate. Okay. Thank you. Jayakunjamad, Ova Jayakunjamihari, Randamad, Ova Jayakunjamihari, Pichana Parapa, Jayakiri Badurari. Bichana balama jaya giri baro dare jaya giri baro dare Yasoda nandana jaya vrishajana nandana Yasoda nandana Shachana Ranjana Yamuna Jiva Panachari Raya Kunjami Hari Jaya Kunjami Hari Yamuna Jiva Panachari Raya Kunjami Hari Jaya Kunjami Hari Radha Madhava Jaya Kunjabhiyari Jaya Randa Madhava Jaya Kunjabhiyari Gopija Appalabha Jaya Giri Barurari Giri Barurari Gopi Jarapalapa Jaya Giri Baro Radhi Jaya Giri Baro Dhani Yasoda Nandana Jaya Vrajajana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Jaya Vrajajana Ranjana Yamuna Jiva Panachari Raya Kunjabi Hari Jaya Kunjabi Hari Yamuna Jiva Panachari Kunjabi Hari Kunjabi Hari Jaya Randa Madhava Jaya Kunjabhiyari Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parvatacharya Also Tera Satyashi Shibad His Divine Grace Abhaya Chalanada Bhaktivinanda Goswami Srila Prabhupada Jaya Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ananda Goti, Vaishnava Vrindi Gajai, Namacharya, Shadharidas Thakur Gajai, Paramse Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha, Shivasiddhi Gaurabhaka Vrindi Gajai, Shri Shri Radhakrishna, Gopi Gopinath, Shyama Kunda, Radhakunda, Giri, Govardhan Gajai, Vrindavanam Gajai, Maturidam Gajai, Jagadatha Swami Gajai, Yamunamai Gajai, Srimati Lasa Devi Gajai, Samaveda Bhakta, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Gaur. All glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is to Shri Guru in Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Gajai, Gaur Premananda Hari Gaur. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Buddhale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaman Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharni Nibhishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarane. So, Om Ganat Timidanda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Miditam Yena Tasmai Shri Garavena Maha. So, welcome to the Saturday evening class in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And we're reading from the seventh chapter of the Adi Lila, beginning with text 117. So, okay. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Okay, so now we're going to share the screen with all of you nice Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. And we're going to read, and if you have any questions, you can raise your hand in the participant window, not in your video, because I won't be able to see your video. Okay, so here we are. Let me just clear the screen here. And so I could see you, the participants. All right. There we go. 1 second. Okay, text 117. Jiva Tattva Shakti Krishna Tattva Shakti Man Gita Vishnu Vishnu Puranari Dahate Pramana. Living entities are energies, not the energetic. The energetic is Krishna, because energetic means the source of the energies, the person who emanates the energies. And Krishna doesn't get diminished when he emanates the energies, as the Isopanishad teaches us. Perfect is Krishna is perfect and complete, and he has so many complete and perfect emanations, and he remains the same. He has unlimited emanations, and he remains the same. One minus one is one. One minus 10 billion is one. This is Krishna mathematics. This is very vividly described in Bhagavad Gita, the Vishnu Purana, and other Vedic literatures. Prabhupada explains that, as already explained, there are three prasthanas on the path of advancement in spiritual knowledge, namely, Nyaya Prasthana, Vedanta philosophy, Shruti Prasthana, Shruti Prasthana usually is the Vedantas, anyway, Shruti Prasthana, the Upanishads and the Vedic mantras, Nyaya is more logic, and Smriti Prasthana, the Bhagavad Gita, Mahabharata, Puranas, etc., and the Ramayana, one of my favorite literatures. Unfortunately, Mayavadi philosophers do not accept the Smriti Prasthana. And so, therefore, that's how you can see who's a Mayavadi. Just like the Arya Samajis, they are Mayavadis. Of course, they believe in Purva Mimamsa. But still, they are Mayavadis, because they think the Lord's pastimes and everything are illusion. Someone is asking me something in the chat window. Wait a second. Please, unless there's some problem with, I can't even see the chat window now. Thank God. There it is. The voice is breaking and not clear. Is anyone else? Can everyone else hear the voice properly? Just type something. One of you type something. Fine here. Okay. All right. Very good. So, normally. Thank you. So, then whoever is having a problem, it is your problem. Unfortunately, my body philosophers do not accept the Smriti Prasthana. Smriti refers to the conclusions drawn from the Vedic literature, Vedic evidence. Sometimes Mayavadi philosophers do not accept the authority of the Bhagavad Gita and the Puranas. And this is called Arya Kukuti Nyaya, the logic of half a hen. See Adi Leela, 5th chapter, text 176. We described what that was before, because obviously, if you have a hen, well, the way I usually explain it is that a hen should lay a golden egg, because we don't need eggs. But if we have a hen that lays a golden egg, I would definitely keep that hen as a pet. No doubt about it. So one may think that if they chop up the hen, then they get all the gold inside the hen. But, you know, you don't get any gold at that point. In other words, you got to feed the hen to get what comes out of the hen. If one believes in the Vedic literatures, one must accept all the Vedic literatures recognized by the great acharyas. But the Mayavadi philosophers accept only the Nyaya Prasthana and Shruti Prasthana. That is the, you know, the Rig Veda, Sama Veda, Yajur Veda, Atharva Veda, some of the Upanishads, and also logic. They reject the Smriti Prasthana. That means the Mahabharata, the Ramayana, the Puranas, etc. However, I'm going to make reference to a verse in the Rig Veda. Om Tad Vishnu, no, not that verse. Itihasa Purananam Panchama Veda Uchate. That the Itihasas and the Puranas, which are the Smriti Prasthana, are actually considered to Panchama Veda. They're considered to be the 5th Veda. Here, however, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cites evidence from the Gita, Vishnu Purana, etc., which are Smriti Prasthana. No one can avoid the personality of God in the statements of the Bhagavad Gita and other Vedic literatures, such as the Mahabharata and the Puranas. Lord Chaitanya therefore quotes a passage from the Bhagavad Gita. Gita is also known as the Gita Upanishad, in case some of you are interested. Aparayamitas Twanyam Prakatim Vidime Param Jiva Bhuta Mahabaho Yedam Daryate Jagat. Besides these inferior energies, O mighty armed Arjun, there is another superior energy of mine, which comprises the living entities who are exploiting the resources of this material inferior energy. And that's us, the living entities. We are superior energy. And there is a verse of Vishnu Shakti Prat. The Lord has three primary potencies. The internal potency, Vishnu Shakti Para Prokta, Kshetragyakya, the living entity who is known as the knower of the body, is also transcendental, but then there's this other thing called the Avidya Karma energy of the Lord, which means the ignorant activity energy of the Lord, which influences us, unfortunately, in the material world. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is explained that the 5 elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, and ether, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, I'm going a little fast, constitute the gross energy, the absolute truth, and that there are also 3 subtle energies, namely the mind. We're not talking about the brain. We're talking about the mind. Intelligence and false ego, or identification with the phenomenal world. That means things you can perceive. Thus, the entire cosmic manifestation is divided into 8 energies, all of which are inferior. As explained in the Bhagavad Gita, Mama Maya Durachya, very difficult to overcome. That's from the Bhagavad Gita 7:14. The inferior energy known as Maya is so strong that although the living entity does not belong to this energy, due to the superior strength of the inferior energy, the living entity, Jiva Bhuta, us, forgets his real position, identifies with it. I am this body. I am American. I'm a Republican. No, I'm not. Krishna says distinctly that beyond the material energy, there is a superior energy which is known as the Jiva Bhuta, us, living entities. When in contact with the material energy, this superior energy conducts all the activities of the entire material phenomenal world. Just like fire is superior. I mean, not, yes, fire is superior to water, right? But water can extinguish fire. Of course, we cannot become extinguished completely, but we can cover it, be covered. The supreme cause is Krishna, Janma Dhyasyatyataha, first verse of the Bhagavatam, who is the origin of all energies which work variously. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has both inferior and superior energies, and the difference between them is that the superior energy is factual, whereas the inferior energy is a reflection of the superior. A reflection of the sun in a mirror or on water appears to be the sun, but is not. Similarly, the material world is but a reflection of the spiritual world, although it appears to be factual, it is not. It is only a temporary reflection, whereas the spiritual world is a factual reality. The material world, with its gross and subtle forms, is merely a reflection of the spiritual world. And the Bhagavad Gita in the 15th chapter teaches us about this. Read the 15th chapter about the banyan tree reflected on the bank of a body of water. And the banyan tree has its branches down and its roots up. And that's us. Now, one interesting thing here, I was thinking as I was reading this particular purport, that it's reminded me of something, a little research I'm doing right now. What is the research I'm doing right now? Well, as many of you know, I am on Zoom, as I am right now, many hours a day, and it is driving me crazy. You know, so nowadays, if I get a letter from someone, "Can you please do a Zoom class for us?" I just have a traumatic reaction to it. Not quite. I said, "No more Zoom, please." In the beginning, I was thinking, how cool it is, you know, you can go and Zoom and see everybody in the world. And then I'm saying, oh my God. So, because this morning I had Zoom classes for several hours, not classes, Zoom meetings for several hours. Tomorrow I have two Zoom meetings beginning at 6 o'clock in the morning and probably ending at about 10 or 11 or 12. Who knows? God knows how it's going to affect me. So anyway, I'm not looking for sympathy. Maybe I am. So I was looking, is there an alternative to Zoom? Is there an alternative where we can have a virtual world and meet in a virtual world? And so I went on my old friend Google, and I looked for virtual Zoom alternatives, and I found a lot of them. And in many of them, they were virtual worlds where you could have a meeting with other people and just, you could make your own scenery and everything. And in that meeting, you get an avatar. Of course, the avatar means, the word means to descend. So you're actually descending into this illusory world, the conference world. And so you can have all, you can go to Hawaii, you can do so many places. And I was thinking, how cool this is. And then each person, like I said, gets an avatar, and they can shape or design their avatar according to their talent and according to their desire. And I was thinking, that's how we get this body in this material world, that we design our body according to our desire and according to our karma. For example, if you've got a lot, let's talk about the video game, or not the video game, the conference, the virtual conference. Let's say if you have a virtual conference, you can hire someone, if you have a lot of money, to design a wonderful avatar of yourself, a wonderful body, according to your desire. So in the same way, if you have a lot of good karma, then you can really get the type of body you want. You know, handsome, pretty, rich, and all that other nice stuff in this virtual world that we're in. So the virtual worlds of the conferences that I'm talking about are simply reflections of this world. And this world is a reflection of the spiritual world. So we're going to go into a reflection of a reflection. And we're going to think that we're somewhere Let's say I do Hawaii in this virtual world, and I'm really looking into it. It's not just a joke, because, you know, we need some alternative. So maybe a few years from now, I'll be giving this sort of class from the beach, from the virtual beach. So it's a virtual world within a virtual world, or an illusion within an illusion. Prabhupada would say that about someone who took drugs. They say they're in an illusion within an illusion. So that's the nature of this world. I'm trying to give an explanation according to my scientific talents to help us understand what this world is. We're projecting our ego, ourself, because this is real ego and this false ego, but we're projecting ourself into this material realm, whereas we are not matter. In the same way, if I do this virtual meeting software, I am not a bunch of electrons within my computer either. I'm just definitely not. And you can end your existence in the virtual world that we're talking about just by unplugging the computer. So in the same way, we get unplugged at the end of life. Anyway, enough of that metaphor. The living entity, but it's just to help us understand our relationship with this material world. You know, we don't have an actual relationship. It's illusory. Just like one does not have an actual relationship with a video game or a virtual world. It's illusory. However, all right, let's continue with the metaphor, since I like this one so much. However, I can use that virtual world, the conference, virtual conference, to do service for Krishna, which transcends even though the illusory world within the illusory world. I can use that illusory world within the illusory world to do something for the real world. Wow, pretty cool. Okay, the living entity is not a product of the material energy. He is spiritual energy. But in contact with matter, he forgets his identity. Like if we go into this virtual world, we forget who we are. I've seen little kids playing video games. There's one called Fortnite, maybe you've heard about it. And they forget it all about the actual world, the real illusory world. Can't say they forget about the real world, because it's not real. It's real in the sense that it exists, but it's unreal in the sense that it's temporary. Nasato vijate babo bab, nabavo vijate sataha. Ubayor api drishtavantas twanyas tatvadarshabhi. Krishna says the sages think of those things as temporary, as being unreal, because they're temporary. Like a soap bubble, in one sense is real, but it has no substantial reality. So in another sense, it's unreal. Thus, the living entity identifies himself with matter and enthusiastically engages in material activities in the guises of a technologist, scientist, philosopher, etc. He does not know that he is not at all a material product, but a spiritual. His real identity thus being lost, he struggles very hard in the material world, and the Hare Krishna movement, or Krishna consciousness movement, is trying to revive his original consciousness by giving him the red pill. His activities in manufacturing big skyscrapers are evidence of intelligence, but this kind of intelligence is not at all advanced. He should know that his only real concern is how to get free from material contact. For by absorbing his mind in material activities, he takes material bodies again and again. Although he falsely claims to be very intelligent in material consciousness, he is not at all intelligent. When we speak about the Krishna consciousness movement, which is meant to make people intelligent, the conditioned living entity therefore misunderstands it. He is so engrossed in the material concept of life that he does not think there can be any activities that are actually based on intelligence beyond the construction of skyscrapers and big roads and the manufacturing of cars, especially Teslas. This is proof of the Maya Pritagyana, or loss of all intelligence due to the influence of Maya. When a living entity is freed from such misconceptions, he is called liberated. When one is actually liberated, he no longer identifies with the material world. The symptom of mukti liberation is that one engages in spiritual activities instead of falsely engaging in material activities. And it's really interesting. When you get someone who's playing a video game, completely immersed in a video game, they're miserable. Just look at their faces. But they're engrossed. What does engrossed mean? Engrossed, absorbed. They're not aware that they're miserable. And if you don't believe me, interrupt them and see what happens. Turn off the computer while they're playing the video game. What happens? They get angry. They forget to eat. Because what is, let's just take the comparison. This, let's say this material world is real. Okay, let's just take that for example. So, you know, the happiness in this world is eating nice prasadam, is, you know, doing things like going swimming, or it's the winter, you go skiing, snow skiing, or whatever like that. So when you get engrossed in that virtual world, the world within the virtual world, the illusion within an illusion, then you actually even forget illusory happiness. So you become miserable. Miserable. So you stop, you just stop someone and look at their eyes. Look at their face. I mean, I'll give you another example, even apart from video games and stuff like that. I'll give you the example of movies. When I was a very young devotee, right after the Civil War in America, actually the Civil War is right now, but anyway, when I was a young devotee, we would distribute books at movie theaters. It's good, you know, people are online, you go to the people in the line, you say, hey, here's the brochure about the movie. No, you wouldn't say that. Here's a book, spiritual book. This movie is spiritual, book spiritual. And so, you know, people were just like really hopeful before they went in the theater. And when they went out, or they came out of that illusion that they were experiencing in the theater, because they weren't experiencing, they were actually experiencing an illusion. Almost like a virtual reality, but you know, something like that. And when they came out, they were steaming. Kids were angry. It happened to be a kids' movie. Adults were arguing with each other. I couldn't distribute books in such a condition. Also, in Disney World, it was the same thing. When they came out, they were miserable. So the point is, you go into a virtual world, just like we're in this virtual world, and you become more miserable. You go into a virtual world within a virtual world, and you fall in love, and you become more miserable. Because you identify with your character. And that's why people are chauvinists, or feminists, or racists, or what else is there? Anyway, I'm sure there's a lot of other is humanists. Because they're identifying with their character, it just makes them angry. You know, why do you think all those people attack the Capitol? Because they're identifying with their character, their temporary character. You have this upadhi, this designation that you identify with, you fix it in your mind, and it makes you miserable. It makes you completely miserable. Anyway, so much for that one. Transcendental loving, loving devotional service is the spiritual activity of the spirit soul. Mayavadi philosophers confuse such spiritual activity with material activity. But the Bhagavad Gita in the 14th chapter, text 26, confirms, beautiful verse, mam chiyo vyavacharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samati chaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. So one who engages in the spiritual activities of unalloyed devotional service of yavicharani bhakti is immediately elevated to the transcendental platform, and he is considered to be Brahma-bhuta. He's on the level of spirit. Brahma in this particular point means spirit. That doesn't mean he merges into the Brahma Jyoti. Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 30th chapter, text 20, which indicates that he is no longer in the material world, but in the spiritual world. Devotional service is enlightenment. You know, turn on the lights. Or awakening. Wake up, Jivyago. When the living entity perfectly performs spiritual activities under the direction of the spiritual master, he becomes perfect in knowledge and understands that he is not God, but a servant of God. As explained by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jivara Svarupahoy Krishnara Nityadas, that the form, the quality, the ontological position, here Swarupa would mean like ontological position, that means what the jiva is, of us is as a servant of Krishna. Anything else will not give us happiness. Anything else. The typical example Prabhupada gave is the fish outside of the water. Anything else outside of the water does not give the fish happiness. Even a beautiful fishwife. This real identity of the living entity is the eternal servant of the Supreme. That's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhulila, 20th chapter, text 108. As long as one does not come to this conclusion, he must be in ignorance. This is also confirmed by the Lord of the Bhagavad Gita. Sorry, I'm just laughing at the fishwife example. 7th chapter, text 19. Mahonam janmaram ante gyanavan mam prapajate, after many births, sa mahatma sudurlabha. After many births of struggling for existence and cultivating knowledge, when one comes to the point of real knowledge, he surrenders unto me, that's Krishna. Such an advanced mahatma, or great soul, is very rarely to be seen. Thus, although the Mayavadi philosophers appear to be very much advanced in knowledge, they are not yet perfect. To come to the point of perfection, they must voluntarily surrender to Krishna. Pran Govinda, wait. You can wait, along with all the other Prabhus. Vishnu, Shakti, Para, Parokta, Shitra, Gyakya, Kata, Para, Avidyakamara, Sangya, Nya, Trutir, Shakti, Shite. I just quoted this verse several times. The potency of Lord Vishnu is summarized in three categories, namely spiritual potency, the living entities, and ignorance. The spiritual potency is full of knowledge. The living entities, although belonging to the spiritual potency, are subject to bewilderment. And the third energy, which is full of ignorance, is always visible in fruitive activities. Whew. Let me give an example of this bewilderment. Let's say one day you're chanting Hare Krishna. Oh, let's give the example of Ajamil, my good old friend Ajamil. So Ajamil was actually a really good devotee, spiritualist, Brahman. And he was just doing his Brahman thing, and one day he happened to see a pretty girl being embraced by, anyway, lower class, pretty girl. And he got so bewildered. And so that's the throwing potency of Maya. Maya has a throwing potency and a keeping potency. Throwing is when you just like somebody walks by, you know, a handsome Rambo man walks by. You go, boo! Keeping means, I just want to join the Krishna conscious movement and give up all this nonsense. No, you can't do it. Just like before I joined the movement, I told the friends that I was living with, I'm going to join the movement. I'm fried with this material world. And they said, no, you have too many desires to work out. It takes many, many births. Bohunam janmanamante. And I said, the hell with you. I am surrendering to Krishna. This is a quotation from the Vishnu Purana 6761. In the previous verse quoted, from the Bhagavad Gita, it has been established that the living entities are to be categorized among the Lord. The Lord is potent, and there are varieties of potencies. Parasha, Shatir, Vividai, Vashuyate. That's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majalila, 13, text 60, 13 chapter, text 65 in the purport. Now in this quotation from the Vishnu Purana, this is further confirmed. There are varieties of potencies, and they have been divided into three categories, namely spiritual, marginal and external. So we're marginal. Marginal means it's like when you go to the seashore, there's a demarcation between the sea and the sand, the shore. And it's not really a place. It's just you can go either one or the other. Of course, you can say, I have 1 foot in the water and 1 foot in the land, but you can't do that as a spirit. So the spiritual potency, but you can be partially a wet, I guess, if you're a Sakama devotee. The spiritual potency is manifested in the spiritual world. Krishna's form, activities, qualities, activities, and entourage are all spiritual. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita in the 4th chapter, text 6. Ajopi san avyatna bhutanamishwarapi san prakatim swam dushtaya sambhavam yatma maya. Although I am unborn, my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all living entities by my spiritual potency, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. Atmamaya refers to the spiritual potency. When Krishna comes to this or any other universe, he does so with his spiritual potency. We take birth by the force of the material potency, but as stated here with reference to the Vishnu Purana, the Kshetragya. Kshetragya means the knower of the field. What is the field? The body. We're the knower of the body. Or a living entity belongs to the spiritual potency. Thus, when we free ourselves from the clutches of the material potency, we can also enter the spiritual world. The material potency is the energy of darkness. You know, the modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. They're just like engulfing us, entrapping us, keeping us down. Rise, spirit soul. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. We have to quote that song sometime. Or complete ignorance of the spiritual activities. In the material potency, the living entity engages himself in fruitive activities, thinking that he can be happy through expansion in terms of material energy. What does that mean? Pumsastriya. Yeah, anyway, expanding yourself, buying more things, having children, having grandchildren. This fact is prominently manifest in the stage of Kali because human society, not understanding the spiritual nature, is busy expanding of material activities. The men of the present day are almost unaware of their spiritual identity. They think they are products of the elements of the material world and that everything will end with the annihilation of the body. Therefore, they conclude that as long as one has a material body consisting of material senses, one should enjoy the senses as much as possible. Since they are atheists, they do not care whether there is a next life. Such activities are described in this verse as avidya karma sanganya, known as ignorant activities. So this is like the Epicurean philosophy in the West, Epicurus, who stated that eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die. And you have certain cultures that were so dedicated to trying to exploit or take the pleasure from the body, they would feed themselves more than any human being could possibly eat. And they would make themselves regurgitate so they could keep eating. They actually put a feather in their mouths. And then they regurgitate and then pour more food in and regurgitate again and pour more food. Or to enjoy their sex life, people are taking all sorts of drugs, monkey glands. They used to kidnap monkeys from Vrindavan to take the sex glands from the monkeys and put them in other monkeys, which you may call human beings, but probably called monkeys. He says they were taking the glands from monkeys and putting them in other monkeys. So it's ridiculous. They're trying to squeeze out. Of course, in India, there's Charvaka Muni who said, beg, borrow, or steal, but get yourself some ghee. So he had a different way of trying to enjoy the material body. But this is our philosophy, not my philosophy, your philosophy, that just try to squeeze as much pleasure out of this body. Take as many drugs to keep yourself active, to enjoy. Go to as many restaurants as possible. to enjoy sticking things in your body or at, this is life. Material energy is separated from the spiritual energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, although it is originally created by the Supreme Lord, he is not actually present within it. The Lord also confirms in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 9th chapter, text 4, Matstani Sarvabhutani, everything is resting in me, Hantesha Vastata. And Krishna, but Krishna is not in everything. This indicates that everything is resting on his own energy. For example, the planets are resting within outer space, which is the separated energy of Krishna, the Lord explains in the Gita. 7th chapter, text 4, Bhumi Rupo Nalo Vayu Kamano Bhutare Bhacha Hankara Iti Yame Mina Prakatiya Ashtada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Altogether, these eight constitute my separated material energies. The separated energy acts as if it were independent, but here it is said that although such energies are certainly factual, they are not independent but merely separated. The separated energy can be understood from a practical example. I, that's Prabhupada, compose books by speaking into a dictaphone. And when the dictaphone is like an old-style tape recorder. And when the dictaphone is replayed, it appears that I am speaking personally, but actually I am not. I spoke personally, but then the dictaphone tape, which is separate from me, acts exactly like me. Similarly, the material energy originally emanates from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but it acts separately, although the energy is supplied by the Lord. This is also explained in the Bhagavad Gita in the 9th chapter, text 10. Maya Jakshena Prakriti Suyate Sa Characharam. This material energy is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and it is producing all moving and unmoving beings. Under the guidance of the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the material energy works as if independent, although it is not actually independent. In this verse from the Vishnu Purana, the total energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is classified in three divisions, namely the spiritual, internal potency of the Lord, the marginal potency, or Kshetralagya, the living entity, that's us, and the material potency, which is separated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and appears to act independently. When Srila Vyasadeva, by meditation and self-realization, saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he also saw the separated energy of the Lord standing behind him. Apashyat purusham purnam ayam cha tad apashyam. Vyasadeva also realized that it's this separated energy of the Lord, the material energy that covers the knowledge of the living entities, that's us. Yaya samohita jiva atmanam trigunatmakam. Those are the three modes of nature. The separated material energy bewilders the living entities, jivas, and thus they work very hard under its influence. They become asses, not knowing that they are not fulfilling their mission in life. Unfortunately, most of them think that they are the body and should therefore enjoy the material senses irresponsibly, since when death comes, everything will be finished. This atheistic philosophy also flourished in India, where it was sometimes propagated by Charvaka Muni, actually that's who I just quoted, who said, Rinam kritva vritam vivet yavat jivet sukham jivet basme bhutasya dehasya kuta punar agamano bhavet. His theory was that as long as possible, as long as one lives, one should eat as much ghee as possible. In India, ghee, clarified butter, is the basic ingredient in preparing many varieties of food. I'll tell you that. It is a fact. Since everyone wants to enjoy nice food, Charvaka Muni advised that one eat as much ghee as possible. One may say, I have no money. How shall I purchase ghee? Charvaka Muni, however, says, if you have no money, then beg, borrow, or steal, but in some way secure ghee and enjoy life. For one who further objects that he will be held accountable for such unauthorized activities as begging, borrowing, or stealing, Charvaka Muni replies, you will not be held responsible. As soon as your body is burned to ashes after death, everything is finished. This is called ignorance. From the Bhagavad Gita, it is understood that one does not die with the annihilation of his body. Nahanyate hanyamane, Bhagavad Gita 2.20. The annihilation of one body involves changing to another. Tata dehantara praptiya. Praptihi, Bhagavad Gita 2nd chapter, text 13. Therefore, to perform irresponsible activities in the material world is very dangerous. Without knowledge of the spirit soul and its transmigration, people are allured by the material energy to engage in many such activities, as if one could become happy simply by dint of material knowledge without reference to spiritual existence. Therefore, the entire material world and its activities are referred to as avidya, karma, sangyaya. In order to dissipate the ignorance of the human beings who work under the material energy which is separated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord comes down to revive the original nature of spiritual activities, yada, yada, hi, dharma, shag, lenir, bhavati, bharata, Bhagavad Gita 4th chapter, 7. As soon as they deviate from the original nature, the Lord comes to teach them, sarva dharmam puricharya mamikam shravanam braja. My dear living entities, give up all material activities and simply surrender unto me for all protection. Bhagavad Gita 18:66, and we'll finish this purport. It is the statement of Charvaka Muni that one should beg, borrow, or steal money to purchase ghee and enjoy life. Renam kutwa, gritang vivet. Thus, even the greatest atheist of India recommends that one eat ghee, not meat. No one could conceive of human beings eating meat like tigers and dogs, but men have become so degraded that they are just like animals and can no longer claim to have a human civilization. At least Charvaka Muni, he was, I guess you might say, civilized in the way he was trying to be animalistic. But most people are not civilized in the way they're trying to be animals. So they're not even animalistic in the way they're trying to be animals. They're incomprehensible. Okay, so let's stop sharing. And I was able to avoid calling on Pran Govinda. This is ecstatic. So let's say, all right, give me a second. Let me unmute everybody. 1 second. Okay, does anyone have a question except for Pran Govinda?
Gurudev.
Uh-oh. Praneshra, yes, what's your question?
Gurudev, like now the kids are absorbed in game, so what is the solutions for the kids?
You have children already? That's pretty fast. You're just married. What is the solution? You give them Krishna conscious games to play. You know, when I was young, you know, we would go outside and have physical activities. It was fun. There was no question of ever sitting inside, even if it was snow, because you don't even know what snow is. You are so unfortunate, Praneshri. You don't know what snow and ice and cold weather are. I just feel so sorry for you. Anyway, but at least you know what smog is and dirty air and bad traffic. I mean, you are so fortunate, unfortunate. Anyway, so when I was young, we would go outside. We don't care what the weather.
He keeps playing video games, and he just got married like 2 months ago. And so far, it's just.
I had to mute her. Anyway, I just overheard what someone was saying. Hold on a second, I'm just going to start laughing. So anyway, so when I was young, we used to go outside and have fun, even material fun. And you got to give people fun. You can't just take away the video games, take away the mobile phones. I mean, I have a mobile phone, but I don't play games on the stupid thing. I got so much service to do for Krishna. So, yeah, give them something better, a higher taste to do. Give them higher knowledge. Give them a higher taste. And then they'll be happy. So what do you think?
Yes, well, Brother, it is true.
All right. So train up your children nicely. I bless you to have 10 children. Okay. So, anyway, when I was young, I never played video games because they didn't have video games. So, I was fortunate. We did practical things like chant Hare Krishna when I was young. So, who else has a question? You have to save me from. Save me. They don't have to ask. Yes, Hare Dave.
Yeah, Gurudev, I have a question. Like, what will be the fate of the spiritual lives of the people after 10,000 years, like when the golden period ends, how things will transpire for people who are very serious about spirituality, because now we see that.
Yeah, I mean, it'll just keep going down until the end of Kali Yuga. I mean, it's really down now. I mean, it's hard to imagine it's going to get worse than it is now.
But at least now we have, like, you know, we can go to temple, do things, so many things. We can do sadhu sangha, but, you know, like, you know, people who really want to practice spirituality after 10,000 years.
After 10,000 years, I mean, it'll go down. At the end of Kali Yuga, it's going to be really bad. But it's not that after 10,000 years, it's going to be like pulling a light switch. You know, it'll gradually go down. It'll gradually go down. And there will be some devotees left at the end of Kali Yuga, but they'll have to execute devotional service secretly or privately or whatever. But it's going to go gradually down. We are very fortunate. Yeah, we could still go to the temple. Still. But actually, you know, one of the signs of Kali Yuga is these diseases that we're having right now. Like this COVID. This is a sign of Kali Yuga. I mean, it's, in one sense, it's an impetus for us to take shelter of Krishna, but it's also one of the symptoms of Kali Yuga. Rampant diseases like this. And of course, externally, we can say that COVID and these viruses like this, like the RNA viruses, they're caused by people raising animals for food. A lot of these viruses are caused. That's externally. But ultimately, you know, this is one of the symptoms of Kali Yuga, that their diseases will become more rampant. And the scientists will try some methodologies to try to counteract these diseases, and the disease will become more rampant. Prabhupada said sometimes when people build hospitals, then Krishna arranges to fill them up. So there'll be more sick people. Yeah, things will get worse before they get... Anyway, the worse before we go back to Godhead. Of course, we're supposed to be in a golden age. Things will get better for a little while, hopefully, if we carry out this mission. Carrying out the mission of Lord Chaitanya is a little tricky. What Prabhupada did is he was very much vision or mission oriented. And because of that, he was able to adjust details, not the principles of devotional service. You know, principles are things like Dasamula, you know, the things taught to us by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the basic untouchable axiomatic truths. Prabhupada would never touch them or change them. But his methodology of engaging people or presenting Krishna consciousness, the external aspects, changed because Prabhupada utilized the standard of judgment that utility is the principle. And Prabhupada tolerated a lot of things. Prabhupada, I was just listening to a class the other day. Prabhupada said he lived in someone's house and they had cat food in the refrigerator. Now, for those of you in the Western world who may think, cat food in the refrigerator, what's so bad about that? But for a Brahmin or someone who is actually high class, I mean, even myself, I'm not saying I'm high class, but if I were to open up a refrigerator, I mean, let's say years ago I went to visit my parents, and I opened up a refrigerator and found meat, I felt completely disgusted. I mean, I felt like vomiting. So Prabhupada tolerated that in strange country, New York, I mean, America. And Prabhupada had his determination to carry out the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if we are determined to carry out the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna will give us the intelligence how to adjust certain details to bring people to Krishna consciousness. And those details are different according to time, place, and circumstances. Prabhupada says it's set himself in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which we read previously, that certain things that are applicable in India may not be applicable in the West, and vice versa. So we have to be able to determine to have the intelligence. Prabhupada expected us to have the intelligence. You know, some people say, well, Prabhupada never did this or that. Okay. And Prabhupada actually said that in relationship to his God brothers or his spiritual master. He never did this or that. But the point is the world is changing. The world is changing. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of things that you're all going to do in the future to spread Krishna consciousness. Especially you young folks like Pran Govinda. He's only 22 years old. But especially what you young folks are going to do. Try to find another young folk. Oh, like Mother Irmala. You know, young people like that. Young people are going to do in the future. We cannot conceive of what state the world's going to be, what technology is going to be, what the moral principles are going to be. Actually, I'll tell you something really funny. That we're having this mediation right now to determine, you know, anyway, determine who's going to be a guru. So sometimes it's determined if certain people can be gurus. I have to be really vague about this. And so one of the people is saying that let's think very liberally, because who knows, in the future we may have 3 sexes or 4 sexes or 10 sexes to deal with. And I was going, oh my God, we're trying to win this argument and now it's becoming more difficult. Oh my God. So anyway, so the point is we don't know what the future holds, what we're going to be dealing with, how weird this world is going to be, and what sort of strategies we're going to have to employ to bring people to Krishna consciousness. I can't predict it, so I'm not going to say to my disciples, you've got to do everything the way I'm doing it, because I don't know the way the world's going to be. I just don't. I'm not God. You know, Prabhupada's not God either. And so there has to be certain details that are going to be really, really, you know, if I could look in the future now, I would probably say, oh my God, how are people going to spread Krishna consciousness in such a condition? But you devotees will have to figure it out. When I've gone back to home, back to Yamaraj at the end of this lifetime. So, all right, one more. So, Pran Govinda, you get your consolation prize by asking a question. You had your hand.
Please accept my humble obeisances, all goes to Prabhupada Maharaj.
I accept it. All right, so.
Thank you for your blessing, 22 years old. I love that.
Well, Maharaj, that's not oh, that's a blessing. I'm happy I'm not 23. So what question do you have?
Maharaj, my attitude towards someone or something, what determines material or spiritual? If I see the connection, a flower plant or a leafy vegetable, okay, this is Krishna's energy. I'm going to offer it to Krishna. Now it is spiritualized.
Yes.
If my attitude is I'm going to enjoy it, that's material.
That's
so
right.
Now, not only potentially I am spiritual, essentially I am spiritual as a soul.
Yeah, complete. You are spiritual, yeah.
Okay, so my question in this case, in this scenario, what happened to the plant who is not actually deciding whether to go to Krishna's mouth or some living entity's mouth? I'm deciding. So what happened to the plant? And my question,
which plant
is,
which plant? The plant that gets offered to Krishna or the plant that gets offered to Maya? What is your question?
Well, Maya, I don't have to worry. To Krishna.
To Krishna, you are so merciful. You are giving that plant Krishna consciousness. That's the mercy of a devotee, to take the plant and cook it and give it to Krishna, or the flower and offer it to Krishna. You are creating the good fortune of that living entity.
What does that mean? The soul goes, that plant goes to spiritual world or?
No, the plant, the soul and the plant may get the chance to become a, will get a chance to engage in devotional service in the next life.
Oh, I see.
Because okay. You're starting, that's called the Gyata Sukriti. The Gyata Sukriti means you're engaging the living entity in Krishna consciousness, whether that the living entity doesn't really know what's happening to it.
Okay.
So the plant is not directly chosen. Hey, I want to be offered to Krishna. take me, Pran Govinda, and offer me to Krishna. The plant is not thinking like that, but you are thinking of giving mercy to the plant.
Maharaj, you are a good player. I love the way you talk.
Oh, thank you.
Maharaj, my question,
all the world's a player. What's that?
The other one that my attitude, as I said, since I am essentially spiritual, when will be that time or what symptom will arise that my inclination will not switch to material anymore?
As you advance in devotional service, when you get to the higher levels of devotional service, you know, like Ruchi, and then whenever you try to think of Maya, your mind will automatically go to Krishna. And now, whenever you try to think of Krishna, your mind automatically goes to Maya.
So you said after Ruchi?
It's a higher stage of Ruchi, yeah. Ruchi, you know, Ashakti, actually, when you get to Shakti. Oh, but now, whenever we try to think of Krishna, our mind just goes to Maya. If I try to think of Radha and Krishna, my mind goes to my computer. Just like, you know, we pray. Just, I wish my mind would be attracted to you, Krishna, just like my mind is attracted to a new computer. or a young, you know, of course the statement is like a young boy is attracted to a young girl, and a young girl is attracted to a young boy. Because that's a spontaneous attraction. You see this all the time, you know, like a young boy, a young girl, they just have eyes for each other and they ignore the rest of the world. So we just pray that we could just have eyes for Krishna. We could say to Krishna, I only have eyes for you. Anyway, just be patient. Just go on chanting and serving, and one day that will happen.
So Maharaj, can I ask you my final question?
Quick.
In Chaitanya Charitamrita, at least two places I found that when the spiritual energy called cognizant potency and pleasure potency is bestowed in the heart of a conditioned soul, then that soul is literally out of material condition. It will be in spiritual. Can you just give it to me, Maharaj? Why can't you just give it to me?
Give you what? Bhakti?
Those two spiritual potency. What can I do to get it from you?
Here, you can give like $1 billion and you'll get the spiritual potency.
I don't have that.
then it's hopeless. Anyway, now I'm just teasing.
Maharaj, how does it work then?
How does it work? Dedicate yourself to the order of the spiritual master and to Srila Prabhupada's mission, and then Krishna will personally take you by the hand and take you back to Godhead. That's how it happens. Yasya prasada, Bhagavat prasada, yasya prasada, nagati katopi. Okay, see you later. Okay, we'll see everybody tomorrow, same time, same station. All glories to Prabhupada.